I'm not going to get too deeply into this next chapter. I'll probably just talk about this first slide. But this is the final chapter of the unit, so it's getting close to another exam. The experimental results that you see in this first slide. Oh, by the way, this chapter is called From Gene to Protein. So we're going to study how genes code for the eventual production of proteins. But the results of the experiment shown here, or the experiment itself, I should say, was designed to test what was called at the time the so-called one gene, one enzyme hypothesis. Now, where we are in biological history is that we've already shown, as we've talked about for the other experiments, that DNA is the genetic material. Once you have that fact in place, then a major question is, how does it work? Right? And part of that is, what is a gene? What does a gene do? Well, this one gene, one enzyme hypothesis says that each gene corresponds to an enzyme. In other words, it's a code somehow for building an enzyme. Hence, one gene, one enzyme. And what they did to test that was use mold cells that they subjected to ultraviolet radiation to intentionally cause mutations, damage to the DNA. Now, they didn't know where these mutations were happening. They couldn't control that, but they just bombarded the cells with UV. It was going to cause mutations somewhere. What we have here on the bottom is a biochemical pathway. So you start with a precursor molecule. That gets turned into ornithine, which then gets turned into citrulline, which then gets turned into arginine, a step at a time. That's a biochemical pathway that you're familiar with. Also, you know that it's a pathway because it's individual reactions, end-to-end arrangement, and each individual reaction requires its own enzyme, right? That's why this is a good way to test the so-called one gene, one enzyme hypothesis. The rationale here is that if a gene corresponds to an enzyme, then destroying a gene with the radiation will cause the cell not to be able to make that enzyme. And if it's one of the enzymes in this pathway, that means the cell won't be able to get all the way through the pathway. It'll get stuck at the step that it doesn't have the enzyme for. So the wild type are the ones that were not irradiated. They have all their enzymes, and they're grown on so-called minimal medium. Minimal medium is just stuff that has only the requirements to stay alive. It doesn't have anything, any part of the pathway. So if you give these untreated cells minimal medium, then they are able to produce arginine because they're able to go all the way through the steps. They have all of the enzymes. But other groups that they irradiated and therefore destroyed genes in were only able to get partway through. And depending on which enzyme was, which gene was destroyed corresponding to an enzyme, they were able to get up to that point. And what they proved that by saying, okay, if it doesn't have enzyme B, which turns ornithine into citrulline, then we'll just give it citrulline. And if it can turn that into arginine, that means we're giving it a pass right here. That proves that it was that specific enzyme. All right, now I don't want to get too bogged down in these details, but that's the rationale for their experiment. And it's partially successful because it is definitely true that some genes correspond to enzymes. But the so-called one gene, one enzyme hypothesis is wrong for multiple reasons. One of which is that not every gene corresponds to an enzyme, right? Enzymes, you already know, are proteins. So all enzymes are proteins, but not all proteins are enzymes. Therefore, there are genes that code for other proteins besides enzymes. And that enough is sufficient to, that alone is sufficient to make, have the one gene, one enzyme hypothesis be false, right? Because some genes don't correspond to enzymes at all. Well, that caused them to rephrase it as the one gene, one protein hypothesis. That's still wrong, by the way. And that's because not all genes actually correspond to proteins. Every gene, which we'll be talking about, is a set of instructions for how to build an RNA molecule. Now, we've talked about messenger RNA, right? Which is what some genes code for. Messenger RNA, then, it has the code which can be used in translation to produce a protein. Those genes, the ones that code for messenger RNA, are called, therefore, protein-coding genes because the ultimate product is a protein. But the reason that the so-called one gene, one protein hypothesis is still wrong is that some genes don't code for proteins at all. I said that all genes code for RNA. Protein-coding genes code specifically for messenger RNA, which then goes on in translation to produce the protein. But the other genes, which are called non-protein-coding genes, they code for other types of RNA. There are all kinds of different RNA types, and we'll be talking about a bunch of them. Well, those don't just pop into existence, just like mRNA doesn't just pop into existence. You have to have a DNA gene to code for any given RNA that you're going to build. The RNAs that are not messenger RNA get coded for by non-protein coding genes. So that's why it's not correct to say one gene, one protein. Well, they changed it again to one gene, one polypeptide instead. And that's still wrong. They finally gave up renaming it. But it's not even true that it's one gene for each polypeptide. Because of the fact that there are genes that code for other kinds of RNA. Right? Because the non-protein coding genes don't even correspond to a polypeptide. Relatedly, though, another reason that one gene, one protein is wrong, even if there weren't such a thing as non-protein coding genes, it would still be wrong. Because when you think about a multimeric protein that by definition is made up of at least two polypeptides, well, in some of them, it could be the same exact polypeptide, just two or more of them, like collagen, for instance. That would require only one gene. But if you think about hemoglobin, which we've looked at before, there's four polypeptides in one hemoglobin. It's a multimeric protein. But there's two copies of one type and two copies of another type of polypeptide. So just one hemoglobin protein requires two different genes. One as the set of instructions for how to build each of the two different kinds of polypeptides that are there. Right? So that's why one gene, one protein was then made into one gene, one polypeptide, but that's still wrong because there are non-protein coding genes as well. Now, did you follow all that? Okay, cool. Then we'll stop there.